For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff.
Greetings, welcome, it's Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. Now, I actually want to start because, you know, I was talking to you about China the last half hour. I got to play this Kathy Hochul audio, but let me deal with the phone calls here because they're so related to that. So I want to start with Mike. Welcome to the show, Mike. How are you?
Hey, fine, Eric. How are you?
Good.
Great. Listen, I think it's kind of interesting, you know, your argument about dealing with dictatorships versus China. Our eggheads in Washington, if you recall, first proposed that we start to deal with China because we would change their whole orientation, be nice, sweet members of the world order. And that hasn't been the case. Yet they're making a different case to not deal with dictators.
I would look at it a little differently. When Nixon went to China, the idea was to exploit the rivalry between China and the Soviet Union so the Soviets and the Chinese did not ally. And in fact, that actually worked to our advantage. The Chinese rejected the overtures of the Soviets and went with the West. The problem came in the late 1990s where even Margaret Thatcher was willing to admit they made an error handing Hong Kong over to China. They assumed handing Hong Kong over to China would be like a virus entering the system, a free market freedom virus that would take over. And in fact, the Chinese actually were able to embrace the economics of the West while maintaining communist control. Now, that actually worked for us as well for a while because they wanted to be prosperous. The problems with China have come in since Xi Jinping has taken over, where he's decided to reject the economic element of the West and bring it back into command and control dictatorship. So it's not something old. For a long time, they actually did ally with us against the Soviet Union. And then after the fall of the Soviet Union, we entered in great trade relations. We just never were able to drive the communists out. Now, I would argue that that's different from your standard dictator. Because in most cases, in most places, the dictatorships are not communist. And in fact, we're not going to be able to work with a lot of communist nations. There aren't a lot of them. But with most dictators, it's all about they and their family's control. It's not an ideological commitment to Marxism. It is a personal commitment to their own aggrandizement. And as long as they keep their people placated, then they get to stay in power. And it's far easier to placate people by deploying McDonald's and Burger King than by deploying a Chinese command and control society. So there is a nuance there. Like, for example, the only communist country, and this is going to blow some of your minds, you know the only communist country that wants to be a trading partner with the United States? Any ideas? Seriously, there is a single communist country on planet Earth that wishes to enter into trade and military cooperation with the United States of America. Y'all all know Vietnam. That Vietnam. Why? Because the Vietnamese are scared of the Chinese. The Vietnamese have not actually been a cooperating power with the Chinese Communist Party for about 35, 40 years. They had their own aspirations, and they started attracting development. And when they started attracting development, the Chinese took it as an affront from the Vietnamese because the Vietnamese were supposed to be a subsidiary power to China. And so China should get first dibs on the distribution and the development. And Vietnam eventually decided to start taking it for itself. The Chinese and the Vietnamese have not gotten along well since. And now the Chinese in the South China Sea have tried to take the fishing territorial rights of the Vietnamese, saying essentially, you owe us for helping you fight the Americans in the 60s and 70s. The Vietnamese are not having anything to do with it. So the Vietnamese are now trying to expand trade and military ties to the Western alliance, which kind of blows my mind that this is where we are. But that's how much of a threat they view the Chinese. But otherwise, to your point, though, not every dictatorship is going to work. But a lot of the dictatorships in the world, they're not ideologically pure dictatorships. They're all about the family. And they want their people happy. And Americans can give them a lot more to keep their people happy than the Chinese can. So we should be able to sustain them and build those alliances. Gonzalo in Jacksonville, Florida, you're up next. Welcome to the program. Gonzalo?
Yes.
You there? Hi there. Welcome.
Yes. Hello.
Hello. It's Eric Erickson.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Surprise. Great. You're on the show. We're talking live on the radio.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Look, I briefly hear, I got in the car and I hear you talking about Augusto Pinochet. And then I had to get out of the car, but I said, you know, I'm going to try to call and see if we can talk a little bit about that. But, you
sure.
know, a lot of people don't understand what socialism and what's going on as far as the big picture. You know, because, you know, what I see here in the United States, I cannot believe what is happening. But on the other hand, I see that there has been a job, a lot of work behind that is a much bigger picture, which is transforming, you know, the world into a more socialist, communist society. You know, mm-hmm. and this election is incredibly important because it has to be a drastic change, but a deep change, you know. And and now I'd like to know if you have any questions for me that I can maybe tell the people.
So I take it you're from Chile.
Yes.
Can you – so – were you around before the rise of Pinochet and how Allende and the government operated and how the communists tried to take over?
Right, because, yeah, I was 14 years old in 1970. I'm sorry, 1973, when Pinochet overthrew Allende, which was the president of Chile. Allende was freely elected. Okay, let's not be wrong about that. But after 3 years of seeing this country that is so vulnerable and small, where, you know, everything worked, we had everything as far as groceries, you know, the small country, you know, developing and so forth. And then Allende basically took over, you know, and change, basically, you know, there was a strikes everywhere, there was a crime, everything was more expensive, so the black market was created where you could buy things more expensive than basic things like groceries. If you needed to buy groceries at a regular price, you had to make this line for two blocks. I remember with my mom making those lines, which was unbelievable to see that in that country that has everything, basically. Mm-hmm. So, wow. You know, the people protested, and Pinochet arose, and Allende was overthrown. Pinochet was a great president from, you know, for Chile. Obviously, you know, there are some people that died, but the socialists and communists there killed a lot of people as well. So, you know... But the country became organized. You know, the crime was over. You know, the country started growing, became a very great export. And when they started getting recognition from the world, they went a very prosperous country. But then again, people have short memory. Again, they elected again a socialist, you know, Bachelet, mm-hmm. Lago, and the president of now, which also have the same agenda that I'm telling you about. That is an agenda that has the world. So, you know, United States needs to be smarter. They need to be closer to South America, be friends with all those mm-hmm. guys that are your neighbor. You're
right
next door, but you're never talking about any of those countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's like, for example, and look, I got to let you go there, but I appreciate it and appreciate your passion. Look at Milei in Argentina. The Argentinians took a chance with a radical libertarian economist who, by the way, is bringing the inflation rate down. The last 3 months have shown rapid declines in inflation in Argentina. And he's begging American companies to build in Argentina. You have a well-trained, highly educated workforce, but the labor costs in Argentina are extremely low. So we could build in the Western Hemisphere in Argentina. And some companies are looking at it, and we should. And then that helps Milei, and it helps him get reelected, and it helps him ratify his free market reforms. The left hated Pinochet because he was a ruthless dictator who murdered a lot of communists. And you know what? Those communists also murdered a lot of people. But Pinochet was on our side against the communists. He was an ally of ours. And Pinochet completely, radically transformed Chile into a free market economic structure. You know, ultimately over time, Chileans have brought socialists into power, and those socialists recently tried to get rid of Pinochet's free market reforms through a national popular referendum to rewrite the Constitution. The people rejected it. Chile is far more prosperous now than many of the countries in South America because the dictator, Pinochet, gave no room for the communists. You know, you get vilified when you defend Pinochet's policies. He did a lot of murdering of people. We shouldn't dance around that. But he also saved a people and really prevented a communist foothold from growing in South America at the time, as he was an American ally. And we should not forget that. Now, we got to move on to the climate change hysteria that's out there. You know, if you listen to CNN, they want you to believe that the heat wave facing the United States right now is the worst ever in human history. And it's actually not. A number of people have pointed out that in 1988, the heat wave was hotter and lasted longer and was far more widespread. Do you know what the average temperature across the United States today is? 79 degrees. That's the average nationwide today, 79 degrees. Not 90 degrees like they're saying on CNN. In fact, 2 days ago in Montana, it was snowing in western Montana. Yet the media is convinced that you must be freaked out about the heat wave across the United States. That's not actually affecting most Americans. It just happens to be affecting them in New York City. And so all of us must be forced to consider the weather from the perspective of a New Yorker going through a heat wave that is not an extraordinary and not a historic heat wave.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Greetings. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, you haven't heard that, I don't think. No, I didn't play it. This is Secretary Mayorkas. Remember, we had these eight people affiliated with ISIS cross the border. Illegal aliens, they were let go by the Department of Homeland Security. Mayorkas was asked about this by Jim Acosta on CNN.
We had eight individuals of concern as to whom we did not have derogatory information when first encountered at the border. We made determinations in the service of our law enforcement objectives, in the service of our highest priority to keep the American people safe and secure, to take immigration enforcement action, and that is indeed what we did.
Didn't have derogatory information about them at the time, so we let them go. Y'all, I'm sorry. The FBI, the CIA, foreign governments, the military, they are all warning us that the terror threat is rising in the West, and in particular in the United States, and that the terrorists are plotting something. We've now had individuals, illegal aliens, try to get onto the Marine barracks at Quantico. 8 foreigner illegal immigrants have been arrested with ties to ISIS. Those are the ones we know. Those are the ones we got. What about all the others? What about all the others? I am more and more concerned that something bad is coming, something wicked this way comes, so to speak. And you got governmental entities warning us that this is not good and that the unsecure border is a national security threat. And the Biden administration is refusing to do anything about it. You know, they're still coming. His executive order has done nothing, absolutely nothing. And listen to this. This is the Biden campaign spokeswoman.
As a whole family here in this country, as a result of this executive order, those are the things that matter most. And those are the ways in which President Biden continues to fight for, communities across this country that, really deserve the opportunity that we know is so important in this election.
The things that matter most, keeping illegal immigrants in this country. Those are the things that matter most. Keeping illegal immigrants in this country. What matters most are the lives of Americans. And if we are finding ISIS-tied illegal immigrants plotting terror attacks in this country, how many more are there plotting terror attacks in this country that we're not finding? How many more Americans are going to die because of Joe Biden's dereliction of duty? It's an awful question to have to ask, but the reality is you have to ask it because this is the situation that we're in this country, and it's all because of Joe Biden. It's not because of Donald Trump. It's not even because of Barack Obama. It's because of Joe Biden and his policies. It's the Biden-Harris administration. They own the problem. It's horrific to contemplate what could be coming, but something could be coming. The FBI thinks so. Now, I got to tell you about Old Glory Bank because they're a bank you should be doing business with. They have no fee checking and no fee savings. They do mortgages and loans. They have great apps. They're highly innovative, and they're not going to cancel your account just because you're a conservative. In fact, they're run by conservatives. I have a bank account with Old Glory Bank, and it's super easy to set up at oldglorybank.com. You just fill out the online form. It takes less than 8 minutes. You get your account. The debit card's fantastic. The app that's on your phone is fantastic. Everything about this bank, I love them. Am I effusive with praise about a bank? Yes. Because I've used multiple banks, big banks and small banks, online banks and banks that had a local branch, and I've never been as happy as I am with Old Glory Bank. They're super people. They're easy to work with, and there's no fee checking and no fee savings. You can get it for your kids. You can even deposit cash. They're so innovative, they figured out a way for you to deposit cash at an online bank. OldGloryBank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply. You can go get your account today at OldGloryBank.com.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings, conversationalists. How are you? It is Eric Erickson here across the fruited plain. The phone number is 877-973-7425. I must play you some audio here. I'm sure by now you know the Just Stop Oil campaign in Great Britain vandalized Stonehenge. Today is the summer solstice. Or yesterday, actually, yes, was technically the summer solstice. The longest day of the year. It's a great week to play golf because you can stay out very late and the sun stays up. I've got 18 holes scheduled tomorrow afternoon, and we're not even started until 5 p.m. in the heat of the day. It's going to be glorious. But the Just Stop Oil people, just in time for the summer solstice, where massive crowds gather at Stonehenge, decided to vandalize it and throw paint on it. They say it's corn flour that can be pressure washed off. The problem with the orange paint or corn flour that they decided to flow, essentially cornstarch they threw, is that they damaged a lichen that grows on the stones at Stonehenge. So they were killing a biome in order to claim we need to stop oil. They have also now done perhaps the greatest imaginable sin for which they might get the death penalty. They spray painted orange paint on Taylor Swift's jet. They must die. A woman from Just Stop Oil was seen using a fire extinguisher to spray orange paint on two private jets in London, one of those believed to belong to Taylor Swift. They're just a bunch of vandals and bullies. The climate change protesters who jumped onto the field of the congressional baseball game, a professor told the girl who wrote the statement that the Gulf Stream was going to collapse in the next 6 months. Greta Thunberg 6 years ago told us that by today we'd all be dead. They believe the fear. It's a cult. And they have a mass apologetics to defend their positions of why aren't we all dead now? Well, because governments took enough steps to mitigate it, but they're not doing enough. They have answers for all of this stuff. And the media, of course, exacerbates this. Here's a headline. Deadly heat waves are scorching cities on four continents as the Northern Hemisphere marks the first day of summer, a sign that climate change may again help to fuel record-breaking heat that could surpass last summer as the warmest in 2,000 years. In Saudi Arabia, nearly 2 million Muslim pilgrims are finishing the Hajj at the Grand Mosque in Mecca this week, but hundreds have died during the journey amid temperatures above 124 degrees Fahrenheit. Egyptian medical and security sources tell Reuters on Thursday at least 530 Egyptians have died while participating, up from 307 reported as of yesterday. 40 are missing. Countries around the Mediterranean have endured another week of blistering high temperatures that have contributed to forest fires from Portugal to Greece and along the northern coast of Africa and Algeria, according to the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Earth Observatory. In Serbia, meteorologists forecast temperatures of around 104 degrees. It's doom and gloom. Kathy Hochul is the governor of New York.
This is not a natural hot weather stretch for us here in the state of New York, especially upstate. But we are going to be seeing temperatures at levels we have not seen in our lifetimes. And I want to update New Yorkers on what we're doing about this significant public health event. Right now, everywhere north of New York City is under a heat advisory, and it's only going to get worse. Starting today in the Genesee Valley and the Finger Lakes, and starting tomorrow, extreme heat will hit everywhere in the great state of New York. Now, what does this mean? It's a dangerous mix of high temperatures and extreme humidity, causing feels-like temperature of over 100 degrees. Now, that's hot.
Now, that's hot. It's true. It is hot. But she said not in our lifetime. And that's not true. It's absolutely not true. Now, what is true is there are some records being set. 94 degrees in Syracuse, New York. That actually is a record tied from 1994, and then It got a little hotter. The record was set in 1994. It was 93 degrees. It's now 94 degrees. It's going up to 97 degrees, and then it's going to be 96 degrees, and there is a surge. But here's the thing. She said not in our lifetimes. Some of these are record highs, but many of them are not. In fact, I'm looking at the weather map right now, and in the northern New York, it's 88 degrees. It's 99 degrees around Syracuse, 98 degrees just north of New York. But over along the lakes, it's in the 90s, but those aren't records. It's just hot. In fact, the median temperature, average temperature rather, in the United States right now is 79 degrees across the whole nation. This isn't some unusual phenomenon. In 1988, the United States had a heat wave before all the global warming chatter was around. In 1988, there was a nationwide heat wave. More people in more states were affected and more records were set than happening right now. But you wouldn't know that from the hysteria of the press. Their aim is not to tell you what's happening. Their aim is to scare you into action. Their aim is activist oriented. It's to tell you a story, a narrative designed to scare you to take action, to comply with government mandates, to get you to worry about the climate, to engage in a climate change agenda. They don't care about the truth. They care about fear. I grew up in the Middle East. It was hot in the summer. We'd come home in the summer, and we'd go to rural Louisiana, where it was hot and humid, at least in Dubai often. You didn't have humidity, although it was on the beach. People talk about dry heats of the desert. We were on the beach there. There would be some days I'd wake up to go to school. We had almond trees in the front yard. They have very big leaves, and they would be dripping with water from the humidity and the fog. In the mornings, there would sometimes be terrible fog. Sometimes it would be very, very hot and really high humidity. Other times it'd be very, very hot and dry. In South Louisiana, it was always humid and hot. You all know this. You all know so much of what they're saying isn't true. And yet they continue to say, you got to ask yourself why. Why are they continuing to advance this? And the only thing I can come up with is they're trying as activists. They're trying as activists to scare you into an agenda. On June 20th, 1988, there was a heat dome that covered two-thirds of the United States with temperatures above 90 degrees. Today, only 28% of the lower 48 will hit 90 degrees. CNN, I'm reading from my buddy Ryan, who's a meteorologist, CNN jumped the gun on hyping the heat wave because they're heavily into climate alarmism instead of strict accuracy. CNN is now known for having particularly weak or low information weather coverage compared to Fox News and the Weather Channel. The CNN story, a record-breaking heat wave is sending temperatures soaring to dangerous levels in the Northeast and Midwest. Again, on November 20th, 1988, there was a heat dome that affected two-thirds of the United States. This heat dome they're talking about now only affects 28%. Temperatures at noon averaged across the lower 48 were a degree Fahrenheit below normal, even with a climate-fueled record-setting heat dome. It's critically important to focus only on the red areas to warn and spread alarm. That's what the media is doing. Pay no attention to the rest of the United States of America. By the way, the end is near. On Friday, temperatures from Maine to Boston are going to be back near to the 70s. They're not giving us the truth. They're giving us the lie because they want you scared. Because if you're scared, They can toy with your emotions. And by the way, everybody's doing this. You've seen this left, right, and center now, left and right in particular. They're trying to scare you to toy with your emotions. You know, let's go back to the Louisiana Ten Commandments. I saw somebody reply to me, I'd rather the Decalogue in schools than transgender kids in schools. There's no evidence they're transgender kids in Louisiana public schools, but I'd rather the Decalogue. Well, you're not going to get it because the courts are going to throw it out, and you know the state's going to comply with the courts. They're not going to fight it. But they're trying to scare you. Oh, my gosh, if we don't put the Ten Commandments in public schools, they're going to do transgender surgeries in the lunchroom. Everybody's trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you what's going on in the world. We're not having a record-setting heat dome in the United States right now. The record-setting heat dome came in 1988 and affected two-thirds of the United States. This affects less than 25% that we're having right now, and temperatures will be back to normal tomorrow. But are you going to get that from CNN? No. Why? Because you won't tune back in an hour to see how many people have died if they give you the truth. It's ridiculous. It's annoying to me, too. But what it's also doing, it is fueling a group of terroristic kids who are convinced that we're all going to die, so they might as well start killing us now and damage property and destroy property, all in the name of advancing an agenda that doesn't do anything to advance the agenda. And it's premised on a lie, and it's a lie being told to them by the press. It's a lie being told to them by their parents. It's a lie being told to them by their professors. It's a lie they have ingested, and it is a lie they are using to fuel violence. People in the press keep telling us about how there's all this right-wing violence out there. I don't see it. What I see are a group of left-wing activists who are celebrating how to blow up a pipeline and turning into eco-terrorists and destroying public and private property in the United States, all because they're scared to death we're all going to die. But if they listened to Greta Thunberg 7 years ago, guess what? We're already dead. Maybe we actually are in a computer simulation now. These people make no sense in their cult. It's just designed to scare you so they can control and manipulate you. Now I've gotten it off my chest, and I feel better for having said it. It just, I'm so tired of everybody trying to scare you. There are things you do need to be scared about in this world, like the terrorism issue and what's coming and the people across the border. It is a legitimate issue that even the FBI is warning about. But everybody wants to work you up on so much of everything to just be scared that you can't process what actually is concerning and what isn't. One of the things that is concerning is bad air in your home or your RV, and you can eliminate it with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. All you have to do is go to EdenPureDeals.com, and you put in the discount code ERIC3, E-R-I-C-K-3, and you can get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, three of them no less, and save $200. They fit in the palm of your hand. They work with a USB cord. You can plug it into your laptop to power it. You can plug it into your car USB outlet to work it. You can even plug it into the wall to work it, and it just works. It traps the dust. It traps the pollen. You don't need a subscription for the filters. You just wipe it out on occasion. It uses electrostatic plates, so you save money without those subscriptions. But then it eliminates odors, smoke odors, litter box odors, pet odors, stinky odors. I'll tell you the truth. Don't tell my wife. I'm going to play golf tomorrow, and I'm going to have me several cigars on the golf course. And I'll have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm in my car because I will probably smell like an ashtray and possibly a brewery after I get off the golf course after 18 holes in the heat tomorrow. And I will fire up the Eden Pure Thunderstorm and eliminate those odors so my wife never knows how bad I smelled. It works, y'all, God's honest truth. I actually have gotten like cigar smoke in my car. The Eden Pure takes care of it. It works so well. You can get three of them for less than $200 or save $200. You're getting them for your upstairs, your downstairs, your basement, your RV, your travel bag, your vehicle. And you can hold it in the palm of your hand. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is ERIC3, E-R-I-C-K-3.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Now, let's see. I want to go to the phones to Bob. You're going to be up next. Welcome.
Hey, Eric. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fairly well. I always enjoy and find it very interesting to convince your call screener to let me talk to you.
He's a tough one to get through.
But he's nice to talk to. I enjoy it. And he actually filters a lot of things I wanted to ask you about. He did a very good job. Now, the thing, I've got 2 points, and I'll try to hit the last one first.
All right.
One of the first things I think that, and I agree with you, everything you said about environmental, and I think that we've got so much chaos out there in what is and isn't, and everybody builds their case and says this is the gospel truth. What I'd like to see is one of the things that maybe Trump, if he gets elected, would establish a bipartisan expert group that are recognized experts in climatology and all the other related scientific studies to look at all the available historical data going all the way back and then critique all of the climate change models that are being presented, see and come up with an agreement if they can, and then present it to a peer group and let them hash it out, and then put all of this transparent information out there for the, and present it to the American public and say, mm-hmm. Here's what we did. Here's what we found. Now, the other thing I wanted was about your, and I've had this thought, and you've enlightened me, tariffs. I was in favor of using tariffs to incentivize businesses to return to the United States or go into an international trade development program where those companies could go to, like, Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Argentina, Central and South American countries that would welcome American businesses. But our State Department have to work with those countries to ensure that they've got a fairly reasonable, stable, democratic, governmental, and not necessarily Democrat. I mean, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's better to have a known tyrant than an unknown democracy.
Right.
Democracy.
Mm-hmm.
So my point there is a long-term trade agreement where we try to enhance the standard of living in those countries and their education and things so they can feed us in a national, truly global, beneficial supply chain. And
look,
therefore, a lot of those people that are coming wouldn't even want to come to the United States now.
Yes.
They'd be happy staying there.
If we're improving their quality of life, they don't have to come here. We provide them economic stability with jobs. They're not making what we make here, but they're making more than they used to make. And we've gotten out of China. We've divested. We're not using tariffs. We're using economic incentives. We're using the deployment of tax incentives for our businesses to get out of China and go to these other countries. We're helping those countries using our foreign aid budget to develop their factories, train their workforces. We're improving the education of their communities. We're improving the quality of life. We're improving their pay. They don't want to immigrate here. They stay there and they provide us at a reasonable price the goods we were making in China. Instead, we've provided them an economic stability and they've become an ally to us. We can strategically do this. I call it ally shoring. Instead of offshoring, just for the sake of offshoring, take our businesses to those countries that want to be friends with us, provide them economic stability, get us out of China. Tariffs are only going to tax the poor and the middle class, the working class in the United States. Tariffs are taxes that get paid on goods by you when you buy the good from that country to discourage you from buying from that country. We don't have to do that. We can do economic incentives to build up other countries. Argentina, I think, is a prime example right now. We should be encouraging every country in America to move their supply lines to Argentina to help Milei. We can do this.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.